Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to our final shiur of the Reitz in the Workplace Chabura before Pesach, Bezar Hashem. We're looking forward to continuing soon after Pesach, but this will be our final shiur before Pesach. So, the Torah in Parshas Tzav, Vayikra Perek Zayin, says, V'im neder o nedava, zevach korbano, b'yom ha'krivo esiv cho ye'ochel, u'mimacharas ve'hanosar mimenu ye'ochel. The Torah is talking about bringing a korban shlamim. And the Torah says that if you bring a korban shlamim, then you have 2 days and 1 night to eat that korban. So it can be consumed on the day that it's brought, the night following, and then the day afterwards, and only up until then. Afterwards, after that time, it would be considered nosar. The meat would be considered leftover and would have to be burned. So interestingly, the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, it derives something additional from the word ve'im. The pasuk says ve'im neder o nedava. Ve'im is really like an extra gratuitous word. So the Gemara picks up on that ve'im and extrapolates that not only would a voluntary korban shlamim be eaten for 2 days and 1 night, but in addition, there's another type of korban shlamim that would also be eaten for 2 days and 1 night, and that's what's called the chagigas arba'a asar. What's colloquially known as the Chagigas Yud Dalid, the Korban Chagiga that was brought on Erev Pesach on Yud Dalid Nisan. So in general, the Torah commands us to bring a Korban Chagiga on each one of the holidays, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, on the 7 days of Pesach from Tesvav Nisan and onwards. We're obligated to bring one Korban Chagiga for the sake of the Chag, for the sake of the holiday. And in addition to that, the Gemara here, Psachim Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, is deriving from this Pasuk that there is a notion of the Chagigas Yud Dalid, that there's also a Korban Chagiga that's brought on Erev Pesach, that's brought on Yud Dalid Nisan. So today I want to explore together with you two approaches to why this Chagiga is offered on Erev Pesach, and then we're going to analyze how the offering of the Korban Chagiga on Erev Pesach reflects more broadly on the unique nature and character of Erev Pesach as a day. So let's begin from the vantage point of the Chagigas Yud Dalid. What's the purpose of this Korban? Why is it brought in the first place? So one approach taken by many Rishonim, and at the forefront of them, the Balei HaTosfos, Psachim Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. So they explain as follows. The Korban Chagiga was brought on Erev Pesach to ensure that we would be full, that we would be satiated when we came to eat the Korban Pesach later that night at Tesvav Nisan on the Leil HaSeder. There's an idea that the Korban Pesach is supposed to be had al hasova, in a satiated state. You have it at the end of the meal, almost like a dessert. And the Yerushalmi explains that the reason for that is to prevent us from violating the prohibition of what's called shviras etzem. The Torah prohibits us from breaking any of the bones of the Korban Pesach. So Chazal were worried that if we ate the Korban Pesach in a ravenous state, if we were, you know, if we were really, really hungry when we came to eat the Korban Pesach, we might run the risk of breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach because we would eat all of the meat that was surrounding the bones and we want to get into the marrow of the bones and we would come to break the bones. So instead, Chazal told us, make sure that you're full. That you're, you know, somewhat full when you come to eat the Korban Pesach, and that way you won't be ravenous, you won't come to break the bones. Instead, you'll eat the Korban Pesach in a dignified manner, and you won't violate any of the prohibitions. So says Tosfos, that's why we bring the Chagiga on Yud Dalid Nisan on Erev Pesach. You bring an extra Korban Shlamim, to make sure that you have more meat that's available during the Seder. And that way you have that meat first, you have the meat of the Chagiga first, then you'll be full. By the time you come to the Korban Pesach, you'll be satiated. Once you're satiated, you won't come to shatter the bones of the Korban Pesach, and you'll walk out without having violated any of the Isurim. The truth is that we have a Zecher to both the Chagigas Yadalid and to the Korban Pesach as part of our Seder plate. And we have a Zecher to both the Chagigas Yadalid and also to the Pesach. And also in the Bracha of Asher Ge'olanu, you say Al Hapsachim V'Al Hazvachim. This year we're going to, you usually say Al Hazvachim V'Al Hapsachim. This year we're actually going to flip around the order, because the one time that the Korban Chagigas Yadalid was not brought was when Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. Because the Chagigas Yadalid was not brought on Shabbos, was only brought when Erev Pesach did not fall out on Shabbos. That's a separate topic for another time. But so that, according to the Baal Yatosos, that's why we bring the Chagigas Yadalid, to make sure that we're full and we don't come to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. That's the position of the Baal Yatosos. Others, however, they advanced a different approach to why we bring the Chagigas Yadalid. There's a very intriguing comment of the Ramban al HaTorah, Perek Tes Zayin of Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh, at the end of Parshas Re'eh, where the Ramban groups together the Chagigas Yadalid, the Korban Chagiga that's brought on Erev Pesach, together with the Korban Chagiga that was brought as part of Shavuos and Sukkos. And that seems puzzling on the surface, because Shavuos and Sukkos, we understand why you bring a Korban Chagiga, because Shavuos and Sukkos are holidays. So part of the very fabric of the holidays that you have to bring a Korban Chagiga. But why would I group together, why would I draw a common denominator between the Chagiga of Shavuos and Sukkos on the one hand, and the Chagiga of Yud Dalid, of Erev Pesach, on the other? So what the Ramban seems to be suggesting is that the Korban Chagiga that's brought on Erev Pesach is actually a function of the status of the day of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, according to this view of the Ramban, really is like a quasi Yom Tov, and therefore it deserves, or it's worthy of being categorized together with Sukkos and Shavuos. The truth is that it's not only in the Ramban that we see this approach, but also in the Rambam. I've heard many times from my Rebbe, from Rav Rosenzweig, this idea throughout, you know, lots of evidence in the Rambam. And we'll begin as follows. The Rambam tells us that there's an Isser, he codifies the Isser Melacha, the prohibition to do work on Erev Pesach. That's brought down in the Gemara, Psachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and the Rambam codifies that in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. And the Rambam notes that the Isser Melacha on Erev Pesach is more severe than the Isser Melacha of other Arve Yomim Tovim. And he tells you why. He says that it's because on Erev Pesach, you have Chagiga Ushchitas Korban. You have a Korban Chagiga, and you have the Korban Pesach. And then in the next halacha, the Rambam goes on to compare the Isser Melacha of Erev Pesach to the Isser Melacha of Chol HaMoed. So for the Rambam, why did the Rambam mention the Korban Chagiga, the Chagigas Yadalid, when talking about the Isser Melacha of Erev Pesach? You know, to put it in different terms, for the Baal HaTosos, those two have nothing to do with one another. The Chagigas Yadalid is all about preventing us from breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach. The Isser Melacha has nothing to do with that. For the Rambam, apparently, these were very much connected and related. What's the relationship between them? So it seems to be that the Rambam had the same in mind as did the Ramban when the Ramban categorized together the Chagiga of Shavuos and Sukkos with the Chagiga of Erev Pesach. The Rambam felt that the Chagiga of Erev Pesach is reflective of the day's status and its stature. That the nature of Erev Pesach is that it's a day of a quasi Yom Tov. And therefore, it deserves a Chagiga for the sake of that Yom Tov. And in addition, it also deserves an Isser Melacha, just like Chol HaMoed, which is also sandwiched in between Yomim Tovim and has that Isser Melacha. So too, Erev Pesach would have that Isser Melacha. So what emerges from the Ramban and the Rambam is this Yesod, this foundational precept, that the day of the 14th of Nisan is really considered like its own holiday. And the truth is that this goes back to Torah Shebichsav. This goes back to the psukim themselves. In the Parshas Hamoados, Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel, the parsha that we read on every Yontif, so the Torah begins, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. And it goes into, you know, devolves into Pesach, and then Shavuos, and then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkis. But before talking about the 15th of Nisan, the Torah goes out of its way to mention the 14th of Nisan. The Torah says, "Bachodesh harishon be'arba'a asar lachodesh bein ha'arbayim Pesach l'Hashem." And then only afterwards does the Torah say, "Uvachamisha asar yom lachodesh hazeh chagam matzos l'Hashem shivas yom imatzos tochim." First, the Torah mentions the day of the 14th, and specifically the afternoon of the 14th, as the time of the Korban Pesach, Pesach Lashem, and only afterwards does it mention Chag HaMatzos, the 15th of Nisan, and onward. The simple implication, the simple, you know, impression that we get from the Torah here, is that the 14th of Nisan is part and parcel of the Parshas HaMoados. The truth is that the Netziv in the HaMikdavar, he makes note of this. He notes that the 14th of Nisan is itself a Moed, and he explains it more generically. He explains that it's a Moed because we offer a Korban on the day of the 14th, namely the Korban Pesach, and any day on which a member of Klal Yisrael or the Tzibor would offer a Korban Pesach, I'm sorry, any Korban, would constitute a quasi-Moed, because any day on which an individual would offer a Korban, the Yerushalmi says, he would be prohibited from doing Malacha on that day. So says the Netziv, Klal Yisrael is offering the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, so it stands to reason that it's considered like a Moed, and therefore it'd be Aser B'Malacha. But there's a major argument to be made, and Rav Rosenzweig has developed this at length as well, that the 14th of Nisan is considered a Moed not just because it's on, not just because we offer any Korban on that day, but specifically because we offer the Korban Pesach on that day. As the Pasuk itself says, Pesach l'Hashem. That's exactly what we saw reflected in the position of the Rambam, where the Rambam explained that the Isser Malacha that we have on Erev Pesach is a function of the Chagiga Ushchitas Korban, specifically the Korban Pesach that we had on the day of the 14th of Nisan. The truth is that we find other expressions, ramifications, applications of this idea that the day of Erev Pesach is considered a quasi-moed specifically because it's the day of the Korban Pesach. There's a very interesting discussion in Yoredeya Simen Shin Tzadi Tes, Hilchos Avelus. Let's say that you have an Avel, and he's sitting Shiva during the week before Pesach, and comes Erev Pesach, and he's still in Shiva. So we know that that Shiva is going to conclude, it's going to end on the day of Erev Pesach, just like every other Erev Yontif, where if an Avel is sitting Shiva, he's going to stop sitting Shiva, he's going to stop his morning practices before the arrival of the Yom Tov that's about to follow. So in general, let's say it was Erev Sukkis or Erev Shavuos, when would the Avel stop sitting Shiva? He would stop sitting Shiva towards the end of the day, Samuch L'Chashecha, with enough time to take care of what he needs to do in order to prepare for the Yontif, to change into nice clothing, to take a shower. But on Erev Pesach, the Ramah in Simen Shin Tzadi Tes, Siv Gimel, the Ramah rules that an Avel stops sitting Shiva not Samuch L'Chashecha, but rather at Chatzos. Why Chatzos? The Shach says, I don't understand. Why should it be any different from any other Erev Yom Tov? It should be that at Samuch L'Chashecha, that's when you stop sitting Shiva. So the Gra explains, right there on the spot, the Gra explains that the Ramah got Chatzos from Torah Shebichsav, from the fact that the Torah integrates the day of Erev Pesach, and specifically from Chatzos and onward on Erev Pesach, into Parshas HaMoados. That indicates that from Chatzos and onward, Erev Pesach is considered like a Moed Bifnei Atzmo, and therefore we would have to cease from all practices of Avelos at that time. In addition, there's another expression of the holiday status of Erev Pesach, which is the recitation of Hallel. The Mishnah in Pesachim, Daf Samach Dalid Amud Aleph, describes the process according to which the Korban Pesach was offered. And it notes that Hallel was recited as part of the Shechita, as part of the offering of the Korban Pesach. What was the Mechayiv, what was the legal purpose for this Hallel? So there are different arguments to be made. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Tzadi Hey Amid Beis explains, it has a beautiful line. It says, "Efshar Yisrael shochten es pischehen, v'not lin es lulavehen, v'ein omrim halal?" Could it be that Klal Yisrael would shech the Korban Pesach and they wouldn't recite halal together with the offering of the Korban Pesach? The simple interpretation of that Gemara is that the halal is recited as an accompaniment to the Shchitas HaPesach. The Shchitas HaPesach was a unique mitzvah. It was, based on what we discussed last week, that the Korban Pesach was the Korban of Amunah, and by shechting the Pesach, we proclaimed our Amunah B'Hashem. We can understand that the Korban Pesach really carried with it a very particularistic nature, and together with that, with our becoming Am Hashem by shechting the Korban Pesach, it was unfathomable that we wouldn't recite Halal together with that. So that's one approach. But Rabbeinu Chananel, Psachim Daf Tzadiches Amid Aleph, explains from a different approach. And he explains that this Halal that was recited during the offering of the Korban Pesach, it was actually recited as a reflection or as an expression of the fact that this day past Chatzos was a Yom Tov. And just as on other Yomim Tovim we recite Halel, so too on the Quasi Yom Tov of Erev Pesach during the time of the Shechitas HaPesach, we also recite Halel. In addition to that, we might be able to explain some of the other facets of Erev Pesach in light of this idea that from Chatzos and onward, Erev Pesach is considered a Quasi Yom Tov because that's the time when we shecht the Korban Pesach. It's interesting that all of the Isurei Chametz, the prohibitions that revolve around Chametz on Erev Pesach, are connected to the Korban Pesach. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Chavches Amid Beis, records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. From when does the prohibition of achilas chametz, of eating chametz, begin? Rabbi Shimon says it starts from the night of Pesach, from the night of what we call Pesach, from Tesvav Nisa. But Rabbi Yehuda says that it begins from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. And the Rambam actually paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that it begins from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. How did Rabbi Yehuda know that it begins from Chatzos on Yud Daled Nisan? From the Pasuk, Lo Sochal Olav Chametz. Don't eat upon it, together with it, Chametz. What's it? What's Olav? Olav refers to the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a sufficient basis to have an Isser of Achilas Chametz. The truth is that it's not just achilas chametz that might be prohibited because of the Korban Pesach, but it's also the possession of chametz that might be prohibited because of the Korban Pesach. The Torah in two places, Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa, tells us that we're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach while we possess chametz. Lo sishchat al chametz nam zivchi. You're not allowed to own chametz while you shecht the Korban Pesach. And according to many, this is really a prohibition in the halachos of Korban Pesach. The shechita of the Korban Pesach is corroded, is compromised by the fact that you own chametz. But according to others, this halacha is actually the source for why we're not allowed to possess chametz from Chatzos and onward on Erev Pesach. Rav Bezalel Zsolti, in a beautiful piece, tries to explain that this is the position of Rashi. That the whole idea of those sishchat al chametz dam zivchi is that the Torah tells us that because from Chatzos and onward is the time of the Shechitas HaPesach, is the time when we would offer the Pesach, so then it's antithetical to that time period to possess chametz. So what emerges from these sources? Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, lo sochal olav chametz. The fact that from Chatzos and onward was the time of the Korban Pesach is a basis, is a foundation to prohibit the eating of chametz and also to prohibit the possession of chametz. So much so that from Tesvav and onward, from the 15th and onward, you have a prohibition to eat and a prohibition to own, Bal Yiro, Bal Yimatzeh, because it's Chag HaMatzos. And during Chag HaMatzos, you can't have chametz. But on the 14th of Pesach, we have the same prohibitions, but not because it's the time period of matzah, but rather because it's the time period of the Korban Pesach. Pesach LaHashem. The 14th of Nisan from Chatzos and onward is the quasi-moed of the Korban Pesach. This quasi-moed status of Yud Daled Nisan really reflects that Yud Daled Nisan is not like any other Erev Yom Tov. Every other Erev Yom Tov is significant only because of the upcoming Yom Tov. But Yud Daled Nisan carries with it an intrinsic significance as the holiday of the Korban Pesach. And in light of what we explained last week, it's the perfect introduction to what's going to follow to Chag HaMatzos, to the 15th of Nisan and onwards. First, on the 14th of Nisan, we offer the Korban Pesach, and thereby we proclaim our Emunah Bashem. We set up, we construct that foundation to become the Am Hashem, to become a nation that's fit, that's worthy for the redemption process, for the Geula. And on that foundation, we're able to merit the Geula from Mitzrayim, celebrate it and commemorate it on Chag HaMatzos. And in that sense, we can really understand why the Torah refers to the 14th of Nisan as the Rishon, as the first of Chag HaMatzos. The Torah says very puzzlingly, that Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Seor Mibateichem. On the first day, you should get rid of chametz. And Chazal explained that Yom HaRishon in that pasuk, in that context, means what? Erev Pesach. It doesn't mean the 15th, the first day of Chag HaMatzos. It means Erev Pesach, the 14th. Why did the Torah choose to use the phrase Yom HaRishon to connote Erev Pesach? Maybe, if as we've explained, is correct, so we can understand that Yom HaRishon is Erev Pesach, because Erev Pesach is the perfect introduction. It's the first step, the first stage that leads into Zman Chiruseinu, into the freedom, the exodus, the Geula of Chag HaMatzos. Wishing everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Looking forward to continuing after Pesach. Stay tuned for announcements about when that continuation will start. But definitely looking forward to continuing then. If anybody has any questions, as always, please feel free to chime in.